Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
It is going. We're here again. Cassie and I were just having a really good conversation. And then I was like, we should just have been recording that, but too late.
We should have.
But we can hit on it. We can do the short version.
Yeah. So we were discussing, as some of you may not know about, a week ago, the Target on 180th and Center had an active shooter. Thankfully, no one was injured except for the shooter himself was shot and killed. And I was telling Shannon, it sounds to me, it seems like because he pointed the gun once at an employee, mm-hmm. but then every other shot was aimed at the ceiling or at like the self-register checkouts and stuff. He refused to drop the gun when the police told him to, and so he was shot and killed. And so it just sounds a lot like he wanted to complete suicide by cop.
Yeah.
And have like notoriety.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think from everything it sounds like, yeah, he never had any intention. I think he liked the attention of it though. Yeah.
100%. And now, even though no one was physically harmed, the mental damage done, because they said they guessed there to be about 250 people mm-hmm. there between employees and shoppers. And can you imagine the kid? Because I know as a partially stay-at-home mom, and like when my kids were younger, that's always when I go to the store is mm-hmm. the middle of the day. This happened at noon on a Tuesday, the 30th, 31st mm-hmm. of January.
The 31st, yeah.
And so that led us into a discussion about how no one needs an AR-15.
Correct.
And this man went and bought this a few days prior.
At Cabela's. I just like to add that because I had no idea they sold military-style rifles. So
right. You know, and that it just led into a whole thing of like, why? You know?
Right. And that's the whole thing. We're like, we're not here to spew like opinions necessarily, but I just, and either way, I think everybody can agree that nobody needs to have that kind of a gun.
Like you can't hunt with that. Isn't that overkill? You're trying to shoot a deer with that thing.
I know. And you know, I think it's so scary to us too, because it's like, you know, it's the bougie Target too. It's like, oh, it's out right. there and everyone thinks it's, I mean, you know, and that's so close. And like, we've all been to that Target probably, maybe, I don't know, but just to think too, such a normal place you go to all the time without thinking that something like that could happen. And it's just so scary when they talk to a lot of these, you know, I can't even talk a lot of these people on the news who had to go back the next day to get belongings and stuff. Like, how traumatizing.
I was talking to someone who, like my friend Lacey, and she was telling me she has a friend who works security for Target. And they've partnered with Project Harmony to help people in the community who are affected by it. So I think that's fantastic. Like, I think Target is doing what they can to help their employees and anyone who was involved in it. So that's wonderful that they're doing that right away. That's just terrifying. You know, my mom texted me. She's like, it's time for you guys to move. And I was like, first of all.
That stuff happens everywhere, though, too. And that's what's scary. It doesn't matter anymore, you know? Well, I mean, it used to be more isolated areas, you thought. But now it's all over the place. And I listened to not the 911 call, but the dispatch on the scanner page. They had put the audio up. And I listened to that. And it was like, I mean, it was just super interesting and chilling to hear. But it sounded like the police here, too, had such quick react time that they really handled it well. So I'm like, you know, good on them, because that could have been a completely different situation.
It could have been. Like I said, I mean, thank God no one was hurt, especially with weight. I mean, even with him not trying to hit anyone, it seems like falling debris, hitting any of those things, ricochets. I mean, someone still could have been injured.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so it's not like a bullet stops at a shelf.
Exactly.
So it's, I mean, even if they were hiding. But
yes.
So that was our scare here, and it's just another reminder that mental health is such an issue, because I know there was an interview with this the shooter's uncle who had talked about how they had been trying to get him help for a long time, so it doesn't sound like it was a huge surprise to people. So I don't know what went wrong there, if it was him refusing to go or what, but
yeah, that's, I mean, that's
a sad situation.
Difficult to say. So, and that's one of those things too, because like I said, Leslie then messaged me today because she saw some, like she sent me a TikTok from Good Morning America clip.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm honestly surprised it made national news, because I feel like we've had so many like Walmart shootings, so many mass shootings recently, that it almost feels like it's becoming a fairly common news story. And especially yeah. because no one but the shooter was injured.
I was kind of surprised. It's like partially because it's Nebraska, which is kind of, things like that don't happen as much here, you know, and the fact that it was a Target. I feel like
I mean,
people
that could be.
Think of Target as being just a different class than Walmart. You know what I mean? Like when yeah. you talk to people. So I don't know yeah. if maybe that played a part in it too, but
yeah, it just feels like these things are becoming such commonplace, and I don't want to live in a world where mass shootings no. like this are like another natural disaster, you know, that you just have to be on guard for and prepared for. Like
it's,
we have
awful.
Enough shit to worry about. Like, honestly, I don't want that to be a thing.
It's like, it was bad enough at schools. And then, you know, I remember when the shooting happened, I want to say, was that Aurora in Colorado, the Batman?
Yes.
In a movie theater, you know, and it's like, okay, you can't even go there. And now it's like, oh, you can't go to the grocery store. You can't even go anywhere without that fear of being on guard at all times. And it's
yep. After that scary. Aurora shooting, I did go see a movie shortly after that, and it was a premiere, and I was mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I feel, me and my sister sat towards the back. We had plans. I was like, okay, I'm just like, if someone mm-hmm. comes in here, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, you have to.
It was terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It's awful. It's, yeah. Oh, we could do a whole episode just on shootings. That's so sad. But yeah, I guess that's our update as far as things happening around these parts.
Yeah. Should we lead in? Should we go on to the slightly lighter note about April?
Yeah, yeah. I go ahead and you can. I forgot the name of the whole thing, but I know what it is. So you can, if you know.
So,
the name.
April 21st through the 23rd, if I could talk. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We are going to be in Grand Island at Grand Fest. Kind of seems like it's like a Comic-Con type thing. They're going to have a bunch of different speakers and things there, but they're having a podcast alley and they invited us to come. So we are very excited for that. So if you guys are in the area, want to take a little trip, I know Grand Island, there's not a ton to do, but hey, you know, we're really excited about that. I saw they have tickets on sale, and it's like $10 a day or $15 for the weekend, and children 12 and under are free. So we don't have a ton of details yet about our part of things, but we just kind of wanted to give you guys a heads up because that is only a couple months away. So we're really excited yeah. about it.
It'll be fun networking and just meeting people from around there. I know some friends of mine that live, you know, in the nearby towns and stuff. So I'm like, they better come.
I mean, that's around my neck of the woods where I grew up.
Yeah.
So, yes, we played them in softball and stuff, you know, yep. sometimes over the summer.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Good times. Good
yeah,
times.
Good times. Small town for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be fun. And it's really not that grand. It makes me laugh. I remember as a kid hearing like Grand Island. I'm like, oh, that sounds fancy. It's like an island. And it's, you
it's
know,
also not
you know.
An island.
Yeah. That's kind of stupid. GI. I remember. We just
yep.
It's called the GI. College,
GI.
But...
Yep.
So yeah, we'll have more info on that as it gets closer. But we're super excited for that.
I'll link their Facebook page in our show notes too. So if anyone wants to check it out, see their guests who are coming and stuff, you guys can do that.
Yeah.
But Shannon, it's your week.
This week, we're staying on the topic of, you know, Black History Month, focusing on cases with Black victims. And I know Cassie kind of talked about it last week a little bit too, how it's really sad and eye-opening to not be able to have access to a lot of these cases. And just information on these cases, because, you know, we knew that that was an issue with Indigenous people, but this is not far from the same. So I did look a lot trying to find a case that I thought was one that should be shared. And we know there are so many more. So this really just, you know, touches on them lightly. But this week we're going to go to Indiana. So we're going to talk about Carol Jenkins. And we are going to be back in the 60s when this crime actually takes place. So, specifically, it happens in Martinsville, Indiana, and that's where the crime is, but she's not from there. So I'll just kind of start from the beginning a little bit about Carol. She was born in 1947 to Elizabeth Jenkins in Franklin, Indiana. While she was still just an infant, her mother ended up leaving her father and eventually married a Paul Davis. So Paul Davis was from a nearby town, and the town was Rushville. So Paul raised Carol like his own daughter. It sounds like it was just, he's a really good guy. And Elizabeth and Paul went on to have 5 more children together. So oh, wow. Carol became a very, you know, a big sister to several children, and they all really look up to her. Carol always had dreams to become a model. She was really pretty. I'll post a picture of her too, just gorgeous. But she wanted to move to Chicago and work as a model there. That was always her long-term goal. So when she graduated high school in 1965, she wanted to start saving up some money. So she got a job at the Ford Motor Company. And she worked there until a union strike shut the plant down temporarily. But obviously when that happens, it's not like you can wait around for them to reopen. So she knew she needed to keep working. So she ended up taking a job as a door-to-door saleswoman for Collier's. Collier's? Is that? I don't know how you say that.
Collier's sounds familiar. That sounds like
encyclopedias. It's an encyclopedia. So I would also like to pause right here to say, why was that a job? And how often do people actually buy encyclopedias?
Oh, do you not remember the door-to-door? Like, I do.
And I still, it still makes me laugh because I just think out of all the things, it's so funny to me still that that was a thing. And like, do you just buy a letter at a time? Do you have to buy the whole set?
Some people maybe. No, I think I've heard of stuff where people like, you could only buy so many at a time or because of the price. So they can only afford a little bit at a time or whatever.
How do you choose? We're going to go with, what do you think? CNS, Cassie Shannon, get it. Yeah. Like, how do you just, I mean, I don't know. And why do you really need an encyclopedia?
I remember using encyclopedias in elementary school to like research things and stuff before the internet was too big. You know what I mean? Before there was like readily available. So if you think
that's true.
About it,
that's true. We're a world trained to Google everything. But like, but
it's kind of weird to think too, that there was a point in time people were buying updated encyclopedias. Like they'd buy a set. And then they'd have to come back around and be like, well, this is the newest one.
Yeah.
And like,
we have some new items to add here.
Right. And then
the new edition.
Do you compare what's new and like what's still the same? Like, how do you do that? Like,
do you just keep them on hand in case you randomly one day have to look up?
I mean, I bet some people did, you know?
That's fair. It made me giggle. Like, I knew that that was always a thing, but it was like, oh my gosh, it's funny to me. But nonetheless, I guess that was quite the place to be, because everybody, I Googled that name to make sure, and it was, yes, an encyclopedia company, which is now discontinued for obvious reasons, but that's still kind of sad. But okay, so that was what she got a job doing. So in September then of 1968, Carol went to work for her very first day at this job. So she was dressed super nice because, you know, you're going to make a good first impression. And it was very specific on what she was wearing. So she was dressed in a white turtleneck, olive green pants, a brown jacket, and a bright yellow scarf. I also would like to pause here and say that there is a book on this case, and it is called The Girl with the Yellow Scarf. And I think that's why, because it's, you know, a very specific item that she had on. So, so she gets to work and she wants to impress her boss, of course. So when they need people to go to the nearby town, Martinsville, Indiana, she volunteered to go because you want to do all the right things on your first day. But the thing with this was that, so Martinsville was known as a sundown town. So I had to look up exactly how to explain this. So for those of you that don't know, a sundown town, it is a white neighborhood that practices a form of racial segregation by excluding non-whites by using discriminatory local laws, intimidation, or violence. This term comes from signs posted that, quote, colored people had to leave town by sundown. Yeah. So Martinsville, to put things into perspective too, in the census they did in 2000, there was 11 blacks among the population of 11,698.
Holy shit.
Uh-huh. So a black columnist, is that how you say that? Columnist? That sounds really weird. Yeah. Okay. Sounded weird. From the, let's see, some, I don't know. I did not finish typing my notes here, but from a news, a local newspaper there said that this is where black folks traveling on State Road 37 know better than to stop after dark. So a black man said that himself.
Much like that.
Yes. So she knew that this was a sundown town and she wasn't worried about it though. She said she'd be fine and she'd be safe that evening because she was actually going there with three other coworkers. So there was two white men and a 19-year-old black woman. So there was a group of them. You'd think, you know, you're fine. But you know, once you get there, they split up and they all went their separate ways and they had a place that they were going to meet when they were done at a certain time. So she's out doing this. This is her first day, by the way. That's a very intimidating job too. I mean,
yeah,
I would not want to do that. And especially being black in that age, knowing that you're in a very racist town. So when she's out doing this, she notices that a car is following her. This car had two white men in it, and they were slowly following her and catcalling her and also yelling racial slurs. It freaked her out enough that she ran to a nearby home, and this home belonged to a Don and Norma Neal. So they were a young white couple. She asked them for help. She knocked and said, "Please let me in. I've got somebody following me." Now, bless the Neal's hearts. Because I was going to say when I first started researching this and I got to this part, I was afraid it was going to say that this couple was like not, when it said they were a white couple, I thought they were not going to help her. No, quite the opposite. They were very, very kind to her and they let her inside and they called the police and let them know what was going on. The police later report to them that they had tracked down these two white men that admitted to following her, but they said they hadn't done anything else. So they're like, "There's no problem. You're fine." Okay. Whatever.
I'm surprised they even did that much.
If they even did that. I was even thinking about that. I was like, do you think that even really happened? Because I'm going to maybe say no. Right. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily say. But so after this, Norma Neal, you know, the woman that lived at the house, she walked with Carol several blocks. She didn't want her to be alone. And she was trying to help her find her other coworkers. And I thought that was so sweet. They walked around for a while. They couldn't seem to find the others. And Norma offered for Carol to come back to their house and said, "Why don't you just stay here for a while?" And Carol said she did not want to trouble them anymore because they had already helped her out so much, which I like, what a sweet, sweet girl. So around 8:30, she left the house and walked towards the area that they were supposed to meet up. And then that's when they were going to head back to Rushville, where they were actually from. Also, she was only 21 at the time. I don't know that I mentioned this, but I guess you could probably do the math based on that. So she was young. So I don't know how far the walk from the Neal's house was to this meeting point, but it was about 15 to 30 minutes later. As she was walking, two men are driving near her. They get out of their car and they chase her down. And this is also, I put this in here because there's a lot of like lack, I guess, of information and research on this, probably because of her being a black woman. I don't know if these were the same two men from earlier, if they were different white men. I also thought there were the two men that she worked with, which I'm assuming that they would have been cleared knowing who they were, but it never really said, it just said two white men chase her down. So also, if the cops had talked to them, you would assume that they would know who those men were to talk to them about what's about to happen. But this also just shows how police cover things up all the time. So,
yeah.
So they chase her down. One of them comes up behind her and holds her arms back behind her. And the other man gets a screwdriver out and he stabs her right in the heart.
Oh, dear God.
I know. It's a little bit, that's pretty brutal there. They let go of her. They left her there in the street and she bled out and died. So, yeah, just a terrible, terrible image. So now, as I mentioned before, this was super racist town, obviously. And because of all of that, Carol's father was so upset. He insisted that the local police get the FBI involved to help with the investigation, knowing that this town was the way it was. But the police refused. And her father later went on to say, "I felt that because she was a little black girl, nobody did anything or cared." It was just kind of assumed at this point that the police covered up the murder because they obviously didn't give two shits. So 33 years go by and nobody has been arrested. There has really been no investigation at all. So then in the year 2000, Carol's mother, Elizabeth, gets a shocking phone call. So it was this anonymous person and all they did was say that they know who killed Carol and they gave her a name and hung up. So after this, Elizabeth and Paul decided to use their retirement savings money to hire a private investigator to look into the name that they were given.
Oh.
I know. And so sad. So the Indiana State Police, thankfully, hear about this and they end up hiring or assigning, I guess, two cold case investigators to also look into it, which is okay. There's a step in the right direction. It's about time. So November 2001, the investigators that were working this cold case, they also receive an anonymous letter that named the killer. The name that they gave was Kenneth Clay Richmond. This letter said that Richmond's daughter, Shirley, had actually witnessed this murder. So on May 8th of 2002, Richmond was arrested in a nursing home in Indiana. Oh. He was 70 years old at this time, and he was a career criminal. They were able to look at a very bizarre history of his behavior, and they were also able to determine that he was affiliated with groups such as the KKK.
Gross.
Yeah, exactly. Just disgusting. So at the time that Carol was killed, he actually lived nearby on a farm, and he had just been passing through town. So this daughter that had witnessed the murder, she was estranged from him, had nothing to do with him. Her name was Shirley. So she corroborated the details of Carol's murder. She was able to describe what Carol had been wearing that night. And that information had never actually been released to the public. So she could identify it too, because that yellow scarf was such a distinct thing. So the police were able to positively say that they had one of the suspects, but they never would have even found him or Shirley had they not gotten this phone call and this letter. So they finally were able to determine who had called and sent that letter. And both of them came from a Connie McQueen. So Connie was Shirley's former sister-in-law. Shirley had confided, if I could talk here, in Connie about this murder, and Connie felt compelled to do something with this information 15 years after the fact. Okay, why cool. I'm glad Shirley? You finally did.
Yeah.
But also, why wait 15 years? And if Shirley told her, I don't know why she didn't tell the police, unless she was just scared of her father.
But if she was estranged, then she had nothing to do with him.
I know. Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts.
This birdie does require a subscription. You can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. And I don't know why that's something you would just keep, like something that traumatic too, you know?
Yeah. How old was she when she witnessed this?
7, which I'll talk about that part next. I guess I'll just talk about it now. Okay. So when this happened, she was 7 years old. When they talked to Shirley, she said that she had been sitting in the back of her father's car. He had been driving around with her in the back and a friend up in the front seat, and they were just driving around and drinking. As they were driving, they saw Carol walking and they decided to pull over. They got out, ran after her and killed her. And Shirley saw all of this happen. And she said that when they got back into the car, they were laughing and saying that she had gotten what she deserved. They continued laughing and she said they just drove away. And Shirley said she looked out the back window as they drove off and she saw Carol fall next to a bush. She said once they got home, her father had gave her $7. He said $1 for each year of her life to keep quiet about what she had seen. And as a 7-year old,
I understand, but like later on in life,
I know. And I think, I know it's so easy for me to think that, but then I was like, well, I guess it makes you wonder what other things she ended up seeing in her life and what kind of trauma she had been through. I mean, that alone is traumatic. And then
I mean,
the lack of mental health resources. And
I wonder if she knew who the other person was then.
She had said that she didn't know. It was just a friend of her dad's, and they never do find him or able to identify him. So, they are actually too, they declared, Richmond incompetent to stand trial. And so he never went to trial. However, he kind of got his, cause he ended up dying on August 31st, 2002, only 4 months after getting arrested. He died from bladder cancer. Piss off, I wrote, or don't in this case, because, you know, I hope it was really painful and it hurt to pee and all the things. So, I mean, at least he was, you know, called out on this before he died, and he didn't die just thinking he got away with it, even though essentially he did.
I mean,
It's ridiculous, but. So following Carol's murder, Don and Norma Neal, the couple that had helped her out, they were constantly harassed and they received death threats after people found out that they had tried to help Carol. How sick is that too? Just another thing that I was disgusted to read. But they just good people, because in 2014, the Neals, they proposed a monument in Martinsville to honor Carol's memory. However, get this. The county commissioner, Norman Voiles, and I want to say his name because I want everyone to know how awful he is. He scrapped the idea because he said that people were giving him flack about it.
Gross.
And I wrote on my notes, I was so mad. I said, what a pussy. Remember his name. That was in 2014. Yeah. So not only it's sick that he, because of that, he made that decision, and the fact that people were still
The thing is, it's 2023 now, and there are still definitely towns that are sundown towns.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe not legally, but enough that people know, especially anyone of color. They live in those areas. They know.
Oh, yeah. And they definitely know. And I can't ever even begin to act like I know what it's like to walk in their shoes, because if it's this disgusting from this side of things, I cannot imagine how it feels to actually be in their shoes and have to live with that every day. However, I was glad to hear, even though that happened, a community park in Rushville, they decided to rededicate a park there to honor her memory. So this park was named Carol Jenkins Davis Park. Sorry, forgot that end of that park. That was a weird pause. The whole park. Okay. That was her name with the park. That was on November 1st of 2017. So a memory stone was placed in the garden of Martinsville City Hall on November 2nd of 2017. And I have pictures of all that I'll post. That's a really neat picture of her too. And it has her name and stuff for the park. So that was a little bit, that made me feel better that at least something got done about that. But Carol's sister, Laura Davis, she had said this about Carol, because I couldn't find a ton of information on Carol's life just because of it being such an old case. But she said, one of God's greatest commandments is to love one another. In Carol's 21 years of life, that was all she ever did, was care about love. And that is her challenge to each and every one of you, is to just love one another. Oh. And I thought, beautifully said, because how awful. If that had been a white woman walking down the street, I doubt, I mean, maybe something would have happened, because yeah, they sound like horrible people. But I mean, there were other people walking around as well. There was another Black girl, you know, that was with her, or not with her, but with the company.
Yeah.
And so, I just think how awful and what a sick thing to do.
Well, my thought is too, is like, you know, the police leaked that that couple helped her.
Oh yeah. Cause yeah, no. And I love though that the woman, Norma, wasn't even afraid to walk around with her out there. Like,
yeah,
she did not care what people thought. And I just think, what a horrible thing for people to threaten them because they helped her. It's like, well, she still got killed. So I don't know you're mad about anyway, if you're going to play it that way. You know, it's sick.
It's sick. It's sick the fact that it happened. It's sick that there are these towns where people have to worry about this type of behavior. Like, I don't understand the world we live in.
It is a very sad thing. And even some of the statistics that Cassie and I were looking up are just insane. I mean, it's stuff that we are aware of and like, yeah, we know that, you know, Blacks are more likely to be victims of crime and stuff like that. But the actual numbers, when you see them, it's like very just mind boggling.
Yeah. I don't know. The inequality in our country is horrible. And I know it happens in other ones too, but we're here. And it's still, you know.
Right.
It's like, it's 2023. How is shit still?
Yeah. Like, how is it not getting better? I mean,
I feel like,
is it just going to take a whole generation to die out? But then it's like, they just pass it on to
they still pass it on, you know. You have to have people who are willing to educate themselves and to admit to having wrong thoughts. And a lot of people don't want to admit that they're wrong.
And I just, like, to me, it's very hard to fathom hating somebody because of the color of their skin. Like, I don't understand that. I really do not understand why someone deserves that kind of hate just for, like, looking different or being different than you. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't even make sense to me. But it doesn't have to, I guess, because people are going to do what they want to do anyways, so...
Unfortunately, that,
yeah, I thought that was going to be a longer story when I typed it all up, but it's really not. But I guess it's pretty cut and dry with the fact that they took that long to even find this guy in a small town. I really don't think it should have taken that long back when it initially happened.
You know, and he bragged to people.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I think good for Connie for finally speaking up, but also, like, what took her so freaking long too? Like, we don't
know. I'm just glad she did, I guess. Still in the family. She was worried about repercussions. Because it said former.
So maybe it was like a recent split then. So
yeah.
I'm not sure, but 70 years old.
Well, because that's the same thing that happened in my one case that I did in, gosh, it's been a minute. It was in South Dakota. The young Native American girl who was murdered. You remember it was the two young teen rich boys?
Yes.
And it wasn't until like one of them got divorced or some shit like that. Yes. Someone finally. I forgot about that. Yep.
Same thing. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I'm glad though that they actually took it serious later on. And I mean, and they assigned people to that case, but like, it's sad that it took the family getting involved again and using their own resources just to find that out. But yeah, I will post the few pictures that I do have of Carol. She just looks so sweet. And the guy like totally fits the bill of what I would picture someone racist. Like, you know, I just see him. I'm like, oh yeah, you have it written all over your face.
Yeah.
And it really sucks that someone else got away with it too. So, and it never says who it was that actually stabbed her. So, I mean, they're both guilty in my eyes, but either way, it's sick. So it's very sad.
Ugh, that's heartbreaking.
So, yeah. That's what I have this week. And I mean, of course, if you guys have other cases too, because it's not easy to find some of these cases, regardless of what it is, but especially in this month, it's crazy.
Yeah. Always share stories with us. We always appreciate hearing about them. And I know for those of you who have shared a lot of like Nebraska stories, I know we've said this before, but we're not ignoring you. We have a list compiled, but you know, we try to sparse things out. So we're not just covering only Nebraska, you know, since all of the Midwest gets pretty ignored. So we do appreciate all of those, you know, case suggestions. We don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know.
And with having weekly episodes, like, we'll eventually hit a lot of these suggestions and stuff. Yes. And we do try to space it out. Because this week, too, I was like, I didn't even know what state to do, you know, because there's so many. And I feel like there's a lot we haven't done as of lately, just because, I mean, we have a lot of different cases to do. But
yeah,
the Heartland itself just doesn't, you just don't hear about them as much. So,
no,
share away.
You really don't. Yes, please, please do. I don't know. In the last week, Shannon, we'll go into our book/show movie corner.
Oh yeah.
To end it out. What have you read or watched or whatever in the last week?
I started as far as watching. I watched. Gosh, what is it called now? Is it The Watcher's Eye? Do you know what I'm talking about on Hulu?
No.
It's a new one. Oh. It's good. It's, I want to say, I think it's called The Watcher's Eye. If you guys know, you know, and it just premiered last week. And I think a new episode came out today. Another show I would like to add that I've been meaning to tell you about, Cassie, is Accused. And that is also, I don't know. I mean, I watched it on Hulu.
The Watchful Eye.
Oh, what did I say?
The Watcher's Eye.
Oh, and you know, same thing. Yes. That one. Okay. It's like this lady is like takes this nannying gig, and then you find out like people are mysteriously like, you know, dying by suicide. And then
I saw a preview with this. Doesn't she have a boyfriend or something like that?
Yeah. And she's trying to steal something that's in this building.
It seemed like a heist or something.
But while she's in there, like she has this long conversation with this other girl that, you know, where the nannies like live in this big building. And then later she finds out that wasn't even a person. And she finds out that person she had talked to had died, you know, like 50 years ago. And so it's like, ooh, you know, it's good. Okay. It's real good. And then Accused is a very interesting take. The show starts with a person going into trial, and then it kind of goes back with what happened to get them to the trial. And then at the end, you know, you feel very torn because these people are accused of, you know, killing
horrible
people. There was a very, very, hard one to watch about a school shooting and a parent being like responsible because their kid, I mean, and you know, it was nothing, the parent had nothing to do with this, but like, then you find out at the end, the final verdict and stuff. And it's really good. There's only, I think like 3 episodes out so far.
Each of them will have 3 episodes so far.
Okay. Yeah. It's sad that I just said that and I knew that. So as far as watching, those ones are very good ones if you're into that realm of, you know, the true crime and the paranormal, whatever. As far as reading, I just finished, I only read one book this week, Cassie, but I read when I get a free minute and it's not that often, but I read The Wife Upstairs and that was a thriller and that one was super good.
Okay. I've heard really good things about that. I'm going to have to borrow that from you.
I have a whole stack of ones that you need to borrow from me.
Okay,
so perfect. That's currently where I'm at with books. Go.
I finished and or started and then completed a total of 7 books last week.
Mm-hmm. Go you.
But That's impressive. I will say one of them was only 152 pages.
Still, that's, hey, it counts.
Also, I didn't pick up hours last week.
Oh, so you had more time.
And so I read a ton.
That's good.
Oh my goodness. Now I have to think about what I even, like, I have to look at StoryGraph and be like, what did I even read? So I finished Gideon the Ninth on Audible. And then I started Tokyo Ever After, which I've DNF'd because I didn't like the narrator. I decided I'm going to try to borrow that from Libby at some point, I think. But I then also read Punk 57, which was a spicier book than I realized it was going to be.
Spicy, how so?
Sex.
Oh, okay. When you said spicy, I didn't know where we were going with that.
Usually, like, if you, like, have a lot of book talk, they use spice.
Oh,
like,
it's I've a spicy never heard. Book. Uh-huh. That's funny. I guess it
so
makes
it was,
sense.
It was interesting because that one was, like, these two kids grow up being pen pals since elementary school. And, like, there's some slight mystery to it, but it's more of this angsty teen thing. It was entertaining. There was some far-fetched shit to it. But it was
That's
entertaining.
Like any Colleen Hoover book is, they're all very spicy now that
Are
I know
they?
The correct lingo. Oh my, very.
So you might like this, like it was enjoyable. It was, I read it on Kindle. So then I read The Stand-In, which was an adorable rom-com type book where this girl is a Chinese American. Well, no, sorry. She's a Chinese Canadian. She's not full-blooded Chinese. It's this cool thing, but then a very famous Chinese actress asks her to swap places because they look so similar and she's kind of like got burned out. It's got a great, like it's adorable. Got a little bit of like enemies to lover-esque, not like hardcore, but like the love interest doesn't like her at first.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's got some great mental health stuff because the actress is depressed and they address that. It was cute. I really liked it. I finished Bracken Beast, which was the second book in Kate Alice Marshall's children's series. And then I started and finished Glass Heart, which was the most, I loved it. Of all the books in that trilogy, it was my favorite. Super cute. Highly recommend for everyone, not just kids. I also, oh my gosh, I won't go over everything. The last one I read, the very last one I had read, I won't go over all of them, was Our Crooked Hearts by Melissa Albert. I was hoping for more spookiness to it. It was good. Uh-huh. We had a dual point of view where we're in present day and then we go into past with this girl and her mom and like there's like some witchcraft stuff and everything. I wanted it to lean into the spooky a little bit more. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. But then the ending felt a little rushed. So.
I hate that. But yeah. Also, it's fine. I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is. I would have, you know, written things differently probably. But,
you know
a lot of these books. But I'm also not
so
the
I
author.
Had a, so I had a couple other books, you know, and stuff. But those were the main ones and stuff like that. I, on Paramount Plus, I need to watch the second episode, but I did start Wolfpack, which is Sarah Michelle Gellar's.
Yeah. I've seen so much on the news about it, but I obviously haven't watched it yet. But I mean,
so,
I probably won't. But
one, did you ever watch Teen Wolf?
No, no. That was MTV, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this is MTV 2 as well. Like this is an MTV 1, but it's like Teen Wolf, but it feels more slightly adultish, a little darker.
Okay. I knew, I don't know why I never watched it, to be honest. Like, that seemed like that would have been right up my alley back in the day, but no.
I watched the first couple seasons, and then I think I just got busy and I got out of it. That's also on Paramount Plus, and they just came out with a movie for Teen Wolf, so apparently it's still relevant.
Okay.
A lot of people are trying to say, I guess, that, like, Wolfpack is, like, a Buffy reboot, but Sarah Michelle Gellar's like, it's not. Also, I did see it's based off of a book series.
Oh. Huh.
So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, the first episode was really interesting. I'm curious. I already have theories. I need to watch the second episode and stuff, but last week I really didn't watch anything. I just read all the things.
That's good though. I watch a lot because when I'm working, I have it on in the background and sometimes that's bad. Because then I'm like, wait, what just happened? And then I have to go back. But also, I forgot to add, truth be told, on Apple TV Plus or whatever, Apple Plus, whatever they call it, is bomb. And it's about a podcast.
That reminds me. I lied. I did watch something else last week. It's on Apple TV. It's the new one with
Shrinking. What's his face? Yes. Did you like it? I heard mixed reviews.
It's interesting. I do like it. I'll watch it
probably.
Yeah. I do like it. It's, I don't know what, like, it says it's supposed to be like a comedy. It feels like a dark, like a dramedy type thing. It's got a little bit of drier humor to it. I like it. I want to see where it's going to go.
I love Jason Segel.
Giving it a chance. It's been interesting.
Okay. Well, yeah. Apple TV, there's some gems on there I wasn't aware of. And that's when I found The Truth Be Told, which, well, my parents watched that, but it's Octavia Spencer has like a true crime podcast. And I think there's three seasons of it, and each one's like a different case. And it's actually really good so far. I'm only on the second season, but
I need to utilize Apple TV more. There are shows on there that I like, that I like. I need to catch up on Central Park. That's the musical cartoon with some of the people from Hamilton and stuff. And it's delightful. Mm-hmm. I want to watch The Serpent of Essex. There are so many shows I have saved on there.
There's just too many networks. I'm like, on HBO. Oh, that's what I've been watching. What is it called? The Last of Us. I'm drawing a blank too.
Based off of
like
the
zombie-ish, but yeah, based off the game. Mm-hmm. So good. I love an apocalypse type situation. Not normally, but this one's good. I love the main guy, Pedro.
Oh, something. I love him. Yes.
Love him.
Yes.
And it's the girl from, she was one of the, like, I don't know if she was like a queen or something on Game of Thrones. Like, I can't remember exactly, but she played, she was like a little girl that played something.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. She was great. Yes. The girl.
And now she's older. And so she's playing the other lead. And oh my gosh, it's really good. It's intense.
I would maybe watch it just for her. I never got into the, I never got into the video game, The Last of Us.
I mean, I didn't get into the video game ever, but the show itself.
I'm not big on zombies, though. But then again, there's something about, because like I love the Resident Evil movies, and those are also based off of the video games, and those are zombies. So maybe I'll give it a chance. There's just so much stuff to watch.
I know. I started that when I didn't have anything else, and now I'm like, okay, well, great. Now I have to keep watching. And yesterday, I immediately woke up and I was like, oh, the new episode's out, and I was like, what is happening to me?
I might wait till I can binge it.
Yeah, it's good. I think you'd like it.
The final episode comes out soon, because I think there's only going to be 8 episodes.
Oh, and they actually released 2 early because of Super Bowl being on Sunday. Oh. They released that one early. So
nice.
But yeah,
one of these days I'll catch up on shows. But yeah, you guys, book recommendations. I want something creepy, horror, but not like gory. And also because like I did get a book and it was called like My Chainsaw Heart. My Heart is a Chainsaw. But then I looked up content warnings and it was like rape and sexual assault and child abuse. I don't want that. Okay.
That's not scary. That's just gross and sickening.
Well, I'm sure there was other horror-esque stuff to it, but I'm like, right now, I've heard it's a good book. I just not there right now. But if you guys have horror book recommendations, send them my way. I want creepy horror. If there's some gore or whatever, that's fine. I don't want it to be all gore though, please.
Yeah. I know. I like the element of mystery, like the thriller part of it.
I do love a good mystery thriller too, but for right, I just want to be creeped out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. There's,
I'm going from the one end of reading the cutesy rom-coms, and then I want to read something creepy as fuck.
Yeah, and that's fine. I will read whatever. I have to be in the mood for certain things though. And generally, I'm always in the mood for darker things. So my mom was trying to get like TV or show recommendations the other night. What should I watch? And I was like, you're not going to like any of the things I have to tell you. So just don't ask me. Ask someone else. Cause I'm like, I can find one funny thing you might like, but.
Right. That's fair enough. But yeah, you guys reach out to us on any of our social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review. We appreciate it. Share if you want or are able to, we have our Patreon. This will go up as soon as I get it edited. So yeah, you guys, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Nope, that's it. That's it. All I know is, yeah, send us stories. Ones that,
yeah,
even if you think it's like a little story or something, we want to hear it because we want to have enough listener stories sometime to do an episode on all of, yes, your guys' like experiences, you know, so something.
100%. So
that's it.
Until next time, stay heartland kind.
But darkland wary.